You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardner, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Where the party go hell? Out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, hello, everybody. This is Marco Bill. Hi to everybody out there. I want to thank everybody for all your emails, Christmas cards. I appreciate all those things. And we're gonna have a pretty good time tonight. We're going to have our first guest is got a pretty good experience. And, of course, then we have several others that have been on the show for quite some time. They're going to catch us up with what's been going on in their areas. I'd like to, Tom, I got in touch with Tom here for about a couple hours last week, well, over the weekend, really. And he came out of his hole in the middle of the earth there to communicate for about 4 hours while they had to get some provisions and stuff, and they went back out. He'll be back next week sometime, and so that's what we're doing now. I'd like to go on and start the show right now. We have our first guest is Jimmy from Missouri, and he has a unique experience that's happened to him here very recently. Jimmy, are you with us right now?
Yes, sir.
Well, hi, Jimmy. How you doing tonight?
All pretty good.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was going to tell our listeners out here, kind of what happened, and when did this happen? When did you have this encounter?
I don't know the exact date on it, sir, but...
No, about a week or what, a couple weeks?
I'd say about 3 weeks ago, me and a buddy was sitting down. We was, it's real soggy bottoms, you know, it's right next to a river.
Uh-huh.
It's all backups, or what, you know, water backups there. And we just sitting there, had a fire, just enjoying our night or whatever, and we kept hearing some, but we just, you know, had the, you know, the truck music playing. And, you know, we said, wonder where it was. So we got up, turned the music down. I got my spotlight out and shined towards the river, and I seen real tall, hairy-like creature. And, you know, I got kind of scared. I kind of, you know, cut the light off, kind of ran to the truck. And as I got in, I tried to shine it back, and I seen it run. It was running, you know, towards the woods. It was running up the bank or whatever. But I don't know. I was more thinking about getting out of there than getting more info or just even, you know, taking a better look on it.
Oh, I absolutely am. I understand totally. Well, you know, when you shined the light on that, first of all, you heard some noise. What kind of noises did you hear?
It was kind of like a screaming, and like at first it was down by the water. I don't know if it was trying to, you know, catch fish down there, because there's a lot of fish down there. And
sure.
So I'd hear that, but I'd hear, you know, like limbs breaking, and it just different, you know, just different noises.
Right. And it, you know, now you said this was in a swampy area, so it's kind of a bog, right?
Yeah.
A kind of a boggy area, like a swampy, boggy area, just swamp grass and stuff all around, and then it goes down to the side of a river, huh?
Yeah, it's a swamp bottom, and the river runs right next to it, and there's
yeah.
sand all around, and, yeah, there's, you know, it's all around there. But.
Now, when you shine the light on the creature and you got a glimpse of that thing, tell us what you saw. Can you describe
it? Whenever I shined it on, it wouldn't even, you know, stop for not even a half a second. It kind of looked and it just kept on going. It was, and it didn't have, you know, from where it was at the creek bank, it didn't have to run, but, you know, I think it made like a total of like five, six steps to where it was going.
Pretty big strides, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. And what did you see? What did you see? I mean, or what can you recall seeing?
Well,
what was the color of the hair or the fur or whatever?
It was like a dark brownish reddish color, and
uh-huh.
the face. Remember, I'd seen the face. It was kind of like it was a human face. I'd say it'd have, you know, bigger like lips and a, you know, like a Native American looking nose, I'd say.
Uh huh.
But
okay. No, so it was more human looking than ape looking, right?
Yeah, but I'd say, you know, I'm 6'2 myself, and I know it's at least a good 8 foot somewhere in there.
Oh yeah. And can you tell what did this body look like? Like a, you know, can you tell me in your words the, like, you know, no shoulder or big shoulder, like a football player or something like that?
It was, yeah, no neck. It was like, I don't know, like, yeah, it had no neck. It's like its head was to its shoulders, just real hairy. It had big ass muscles. As I would say, like, it was big. It was, you can definitely tell it was very muscular. That's what, you know, but.
Uh-huh.
I didn't want to, you know, stand there much longer. We just got out of
there. No, I understand.
When we was leaving, I shined for it a few times, you know. You know, I didn't know, you know, thought maybe, oh, it could have been a bear, but there's no way a bear could stand on back legs and have a stride, you know, and make steps like
sure.
that.
Now, could I, one other question. Was there any kind of a smell? Could you smell anything there? Was there some kind of a smell?
It was a pretty calm night, you know, no wind blowing, no
uh-huh.
nothing. I don't think it had a smell, but I forgot to mention that it was like 2 days before we went down there and we found those swamp rabbits. They're, you know, they ain't your ordinary size rabbits. They're a tall rabbit.
Right. They're bigger, quite a bit bigger than a regular.
The rabbit was just ripped in half. You know, there's a gun, it'll blow them apart. with a good sized gun, but this it looks like it just got ripped apart. Like something was eating it. I don't know.
Wow. Well, then, so then, obviously, when you looked at this thing, how did you, I mean, you probably questioned yourself, did I really see what I saw? That
yeah.
kind of thing, huh?
Yeah.
Did you question yourself? I mean, you know, that's what I did. I mean, did you question yourself, say, well, I didn't really see what I saw, and then you kept trying to, you know, that way, right? And then all of a sudden you said, well, that's what I saw.
Yeah,
that kind of thing.
Yeah. Kind of startled me a little bit.
Yeah. And what about your friend? How does he feel?
He was like, "Let's get the hell out of here." He didn't want to shine for nothing. He just wanted to go.
He just wanted to get out. Yeah. And that's nothing wrong with that. I mean, the first thing you think about is safety. Well, you know, and the reason I ask you some of these questions is because a lot of people send us emails and letters and things, and they say, well, if you've seen the creature, why didn't you take a picture of it? And the truth is, if you're not out hunting for it, and you're not out researching for it, and it comes unexpected, it's a pretty big surprise, an unexpected surprise.
Well, it was one of those times, you know. Yeah, we had our phone, but it was dark. There wasn't a next
sure.
time. You know, it was like one of those startled moments. You couldn't just, you know, I don't have a video camera just in my, you know.
No.
You know, just my arm.
Well, isn't that also? But, I mean, really, you're not thinking about taking a picture. You're not thinking about getting a closer look. But the only thing you're thinking about is getting your little feet and beating it out of there to get the heck out of Dodge. And you know, save survival mode, right? and that's a good mode to be in. Nothing wrong with that. Well,
when we was leaving, whatever, we was gonna shine it. I had the old op 6 in my truck. I was just gonna blow a hole in his ass. Then we'll have the for sure thing if it was it. I've had an uncle down in, I'm from actually Ellington, Missouri.
Yeah.
My uncle, he killed a bear a couple of years ago, and. You know, that's the first time you ever seen a bear down there, and he killed it. Luckily, you know, he almost got in trouble for it, but, you know. I was all about that. I don't know. We thought about it a couple times, you know, setting traps, but I don't know.
Well, gosh, I'm going to tell you, one of the things I want to thank you is, this is kind of short notice, and I asked you to come on the show tonight. And I really do appreciate you sharing your encounter experience with us. You know,
we haven't been back down there since. We thought about, you know, going down there and checking for some kind of tracks or
sure.
or, you know, setting up a couple, you know, good game cameras or whatnot. But I don't know, it's like, you know, it's not right now. You know, couldn't do much good looking right now, but we're supposed to get some bad weather down here towards my way, you know, a bunch of ice and snow down here, so I don't know.
Well, one of the things you can look for, there are several things you can look for when you go if you go back down in the area where you saw it.
It's only half a mile from my house. So.
Sure. When you go down there, there's something we call tree twists. What that is, you know, anywhere from an inch to 2-inch branches just twisted. Now, nothing can do that but a human hand. But a human can't do it because it's just too big for our hands, so it'd have to be a really, really, really strong human. You know what I mean? And we don't know why they do this. We think it's marking the trail. But they do this. You look about anywhere from 6 to 10 feet off the ground, and you'll see these branches twisted. Another thing besides the tracks that you can look for, there are what they call layers, and what a layer is, there may be branches, and trees. You know what I'm talking about? The branches and the trees and stuff all smuggled up into a bedding area. Okay, now this is down by a swamp. This is next to a river. What they may do is they may very well are there any caves that you're aware of, or are there, you know, like kind of caves or anything along the riverside that you're aware of?
No, I've lived down here about, I've been down here about 6 months. my buddies live here his whole life, always knowing the place here. He ain't even seen something since that night. He's never seen that in his life, you know.
No, no, I understand. Sure. Yep, I understand totally. Well, what I was trying to get at is sometimes they live along the rivers and stuff. There's sometimes caves or these, you know, kind of cave-like areas, and that's where they'll stay. The creatures are nocturnal. In other words, they're normally out at night, usually between like 10 and 4 in the morning, between 10 o'clock and 4 in the morning, somewhere in there. However, they have been seen a lot during the day as well. But their main time for going out and doing stuff is at night. And so there's a lot of different things you can look for. Another thing to look for is tree formations. And what a tree formation is you'll see trees that are broken off, broken half, stashed upside down in the ground, broken completely in half or pushed over completely, roots up. And normally bears can't do that, but these creatures seem to want to do that. And so there's little things like that that you can look around and find things. Once you're aware of them, you can see, you know, if they've been in an area or not. And those are the kinds of things that we look for. Also, scat. You know, it looks more human, like a human kind of a scat, but a little bigger. So there's a lot of different kinds of things to look for. But heck, anyway, what I wanted to invite you to is at the end of our show, we have about a 10 or 15 minute period where we ask, you know, people can ask, you know, ask questions about the other guests, and people may want to ask you a couple of questions as well. Would you mind hanging around on the show and listen to the rest of the show here on that? Would you mind that?
Yeah, sounds good to me. I do have a question. I got some family that lives up in Ohio. They kind of want to hear about it. What radio channel is this?
Oh, what I'll do after the show is over, I'll have to give you some links. There's a website and some other stuff that you can go to listen.
Oh, it's not on like
It's a webcast radio and a podcast. And the podcast goes out to 34 different countries, and then the webcast is streamed live over two, three different streams.
So you can see to my phone, right?
Yeah, you should be able to. But one of the other things that'll happen is next week I'll publish this show, and what I'll do is I'll call you and you'll be able to download it. You can download it to your phone or to your iPhone if you want.
All righty.
It's just like downloading the music, you know, something like that. It's an MP3 file. Okay?
All righty.
Well, Jimmy, thank you so much for coming on. I'm going to mute you out right now, but hang on and stay till the end of the show here. So I'm sure there's going to be some people who want to ask you some questions. Really, I appreciate you coming on the show tonight and sharing with us, okay?
No problem.
Okay, thank you. Well, everybody, that was Jimmy from Missouri. He had some pretty neat experiences. Let's see, what have we got to do here? I think we're going to go out here to we're going to have to do a little commercial. Forgot all about it. So here we go, folks. We're going to go to a commercial. We'll be right back.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage, available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back, everybody. Well, now we're going to go out to Virginia and talk to our good friend Anthony. Anthony, how are you tonight, my friend?
Doing well, Marco Bill.
Hope everybody's okay over there.
What's been going on?
Well, unfortunately, it's kind of the same as I reported last time, with the most recent incident being today, this evening. We're not even going out baiting or setting up any type of game cameras and stuff. And in the pitch black darkness, we're still hearing some voices out there in the woods. It's kind of interesting. We don't think that they're alone. Looks like they might be using some, you know. I know out here that, some folks use dogs to, they run their dogs to spook the deer so they can, stock the freezer there. But, the thing is this is that, I'm going in areas where, people don't particularly hunt. like I said, just getting upsetting right now. And even though, I haven't been going out much, because of holidays and you're just getting together with family and stuff like that. They're still, I know that, the areas where I had, seen and my friends had seen and experienced and had heard things and some of the audio recordings. But evidently something is, we got something real because somebody's trying to come right behind us.
I seen your video, or not your video, but your cameras, your game cams, and
right.
Seen those guys looked like they were trying to track you guys.
Yeah.
Following you around.
How
about your tree formations? Are they still pretty much the same in the area?
Well, interesting thing is that, my folks are out of state, but they still have property, about an hour and a half from where I'm at. And we just happened to be going in the area, and they said, hey, let's just pass by the land while we were there. I didn't have my camera. I didn't have my point and shoot camera, but, they even on their property, there were some formations there, they weren't new, but, they definitely, something had come by,
it was evidence, you can tell that there's something been there and it's been making the branches or forming the branches into different designs and patterns, right?
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, stuff that we've seen before. So it definitely is, something in that area now. I don't know how much longer if the creatures are going through that particular area, only because from what I had heard, kind of across the I don't want to say across the street, that's not where it is, but it's a good distance across from where they're at. They're going to be putting up, some homes, like a row of townhouses and stuff like that. So I guess the developer come in and they're going to do some, building over there. So I don't know what's going to happen. If they are, still in the area, I don't know if they're going to stick around or if they're going to move on,
No, I understand, Well, what kind of a noises were you hearing?
The funny thing is that as I was walking, I was hearing folks talking, when I quickly discerned that they were coming from the woods, as soon as I stopped, because actually I kind of stopped suddenly because I'm like, I know what's going on here. I stopped and then. I'm pretty sure I was being watched because as I was trying to pinpoint where they were, everybody stopped making the sound. you know.
Got it. Yeah. So they are tracking you.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about that. So I just,
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's amazing. You know what I mean? But you know what? I don't know, you know. I mean, if they think that they're going to get, you know, $10 million for this body, you know, then, you know, they got the whole country, you know, all these other places that, you know, they could do it, you know what I'm saying?
Some people just want to do something, they want to get stuff for nothing. And they figure they follow people around and, you know, they'll get something free, you know, and, that's happened quite a bit with us, but it doesn't work that way. Well, you do have to have some knowledge of the habitats and other things.
Yeah.
To be able to get enough knowledge to, you know. Well, gosh.
But I won't be announcing what the future plans are, but I got your number, you got my number, and you know I'll keep you updated.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Well, I want to thank you for coming on tonight and give us an update of what's going on there.
Sure,
It's kind of sad that these guys keep interfering with what you guys are doing.
Yeah,
it makes you apprehensive about even doing anything sometimes.
Yeah, because you don't know who's behind you. You know what I mean? And like I said, it wasn't like, you know, the last incident, we weren't, you know, out to set out cameras or bait or anything like that. We were just making observations of what's the same and what's different, you know what I mean? And
sure.
Yeah, jerks are out there.
Well, I appreciate you coming on tonight, and hang on there until the end of the show. And
sure,
we'll open it up for questions. Thanks,
all
Anthony. Right. I appreciate you coming on tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. Well, everybody, that was Anthony from Virginia giving us an update in his area. Next, we're going to go to New York, and we're going to talk to Richard and see what's been going on with him. Hi, Richard. How you doing?
I'm fine, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I really don't have anything to report, other than I was thinking, I wish Tom was here, because I would love to go around that sign, but I won't do it by myself for a bunch of reasons.
Yeah.
For one thing, it says that it's federally protected. For another thing, if I went by myself, I'm kind of thinking that, in my mind, because we've talked about this before, on the different types of creatures.
Yeah.
I think what I'm seeing is more of a hybrid. That doesn't mean that they're small. There's some big ones there.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking that if I go around that sign now and they're protected in there, I'm going to find some kind of habituation site, you know, some kind of, I don't know what you want to call them. These things, I think they're just short of being able to use fire. I don't think they use fire, because you can't, you know, you would see the smoke and they'd burn that place down. They have controlled burns there, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that they do wear skins of the animals they kill. I mean, monkeys don't wear animal skins. I never heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
Primates don't do that.
But on some of the pictures that you sent me, what it appeared wasn't so much, I didn't see so much skin as I did, as it looked like it was matted hair.
Well, it could be.
You know what I'm talking about? The hair was very matted.
It could be, Bill, but.
But that it could be, too. I mean, it's hard to tell.
We don't know. But if I had somebody of Tom's stature with me, if Tom Biscardi got arrested for trespass, it would be in all the papers, all right? If Richard gets arrested for going around a sign on federally protected land, I'm spending a couple of night in jail and paying a fine. Nobody cares. But if it's Tom Biscardi with his national and international recognition, you know, and fame, there's going to be TV coverage, and there's going to be newspaper coverage. You know what I'm saying, Bill?
Well, no, I understand. Well, Tom comes back next week sometime.
Yeah, well,
and when he does, we'll
You guys are on the West Coast. You guys are on the West Coast, and I'm on the East Coast.
Well, he's not on the West Coast right now. I can guarantee you that. He's where there's no communications whatsoever.
Right. But there is, Bill, I'm willing to bet you that that's very heavily inhabited, and that's where they make, because that's where they're coming down from.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming down that ridge from that protected area. Whether that's set aside for them on purpose, or they go there because nobody can go there. Like we said before, unless you have Jane Goodall following these things around, taking notes, nobody knows what they are and what they're doing.
No, I understand, yeah.
You're just seeing shadows of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You guys know that. When you go out, you see shadows. You see 3 seconds or 5 seconds. Then you don't see them again because you can't catch them.
Well, that's true, yeah. And you've had some pretty good pictures.
Oh, I know that. And I sent Roger, our friend Roger, a video. And through the whole video, you hear a cry. Through the whole video. It's not a bird. Because the first one, it makes a noise and it goes like, like that. There's like a little, just a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a subtle one. But that same cry goes on for the full length of that video. And I end up almost a mile from where I first heard it, and it didn't follow me, but I can still hear it. There must be about 12 to 14 or 15 calls. I don't know. I don't think it's a warning cry. I think it's irritated. It's not a scream, but it's irritated that I'm there. And the first cry comes when I turn my camera and point it. I stop walking, and I point to a specific area.
Yeah.
I didn't see nothing. That's the first cry, and it came. It was like a warning cry, irritating warning. It's no bird. It's not a bird. I know it's not a bird. And Roger told me today that he thought that it sounded like a prime. He emailed me back and said it sounded like a primate.
Well, they do make these primate or guttural sounds sometimes.
It's not good. It's more of a, I can't explain it, Bill. It's not a scream. Somewhere it's between a scream and just like a irritation. It's not,
yeah.
It didn't sound loud, but it still carried over a mile.
Well, that's pretty loud.
It's not, you know what it sounded like, Bill? Like I was in Africa.
Okay.
Like I was in it was like an African rainforest. That's what it sounded like. That cry kept on coming. Maybe every 30, 40 seconds, that same cry. And I wish there was some place in New York State where I could send it and say, could you identify this if it's a bird or an animal? You know, with NCON or somebody like that. But I can't think of anybody.
Well, you can do a Google. I mean, there's got a lot of people out there.
I went and I listened to every kind of, I went on Google.
No, I'm talking about people who are
like,
experts at listening to at animal stuff. Well, yeah, there are.
I did bird call. I did owls. I did every kind of owl in New York State. And it didn't sound like any owls because, you know, like I've never heard it, but like barred owls.
Yeah.
They say, in fact, I watched that Finding Bigfoot and that cliff was on, and I could have swore that it was monkeys, but it was barred owls, they said. I've never heard them. All I ever hear is, whoo, that's all I ever hear. It's the only kind of owl I ever notice around here. We do hear them, but I don't hear anything like those barred owls that they had on.
Well, what I'll do is I'll take a look around, and I'll try to find you.
I could send you the video.
Can anytime.
With my new computer, it compresses it. Automatically.
Yeah.
And I that's how I sent it to Ryan. I sent you that video last week. If you saw the video I sent you, the area that I go to, I hit the same area every time. And those bushes are so thick when in season during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
There could be, you could hide a herd of elephants in there. You couldn't see it, Bill.
Oh, no, I see. It's a pretty thick area.
It looks squatchy, don't it, if you look to the
side?
Yeah,
it does, yeah.
I mean, it sure does. And there is pockets of trees. It's mostly bushes, but there is pockets of trees in there. And Tom asked me when we were away last summer, he asked me if there was a water in there. And this is the most beautiful wild pond you could ever imagine in there. It's probably about 10 or 15 acres.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. And then there's another part I go into. It looks just like you're in Jurassic Park. It's so dark and so there is trees in there. There's not all, there's just pockets of them, maybe, you know.
Yeah, I understand.
5 acres or 6 acres. It's mostly these bushes. There's not a stone in that place, Bill.
I understand. You told me that. Yeah, you said there's
You
no
will
rocks.
Not find a rock or stone in that place.
It's all ancient riverbed.
One day,
It's all ancient riverbed.
It's an ancient lake.
A lake.
But there's no rocks. But one day I did hear rock knocking. It's stone, tapping. But it sounded more metallic. I think it must have got something from the dump. It was hitting it together. And my granddaughter was with me that day and heard it too. And the day I had the sighting in the part that I can't go in anymore, the first call I made to you guys, my granddaughter was with me that day. That just seems funny that it would choose to run. She didn't see it. It would choose to run in front of us. And you could hear it before you saw it. It was like a clicking sound.
Uh-huh.
I can't explain, but I saw it, and it was across that trail so quick, it was a gray blur. Man-sized gray blur.
Wow. I tell you.
So, I am blessed. How many people have never seen one? I've had two. And one was real clear. I've had two.
Well, when Tom gets back next week, what I'll do is this, Richard.
Tomorrow
or the next day there, I'll take a look at my little inventory of contacts. And there may be a couple of people in there that do sound analysis.
Oh, please.
Okay.
I'm just interested. I'm just curious for my own sake. Maybe it's not. I think it is because of where it is and the duration.
Oh, we'll do that. And I'll try to send it to you, and then you can get that. And Tom will be back next week sometime. I'll brief him on what's going on.
That's what I said. Tom Biscardi gets arrested, and it would be at least regional news. I get arrested, and nobody gives a damn, except my wife. Got to come and bail me out. You know what I'm saying?
No, I understand that.
Tom is...
Well, I want to thank you for coming on tonight.
Oh, yeah. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
We'll keep in contact with you for the week here.
Yes, and please... If you and Tom could send me some contacts for the sound analysis, I would love it.
Well, that's what I want to do. I'll take a look here tomorrow and the next day there to try to look for something that we've got on file somewhere.
Oh, and Bill, I'm hoping I get one of those GoPro cameras.
They're pretty good.
Yeah, that would be perfect, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Bill, thanks a lot.
You're going to hang on for the end here, right?
Oh, yeah. It's always a pleasure talking to you and... trying to add whatever I can.
Well, thanks for coming on, Richard. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Take care now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everybody, that was Richard from New York, and gives us a little update on his area there. Richard's had quite a bit of activity in the last few months and sent quite a few pictures various pictures and things that he's gotten, and some of them are pretty darn good. We're going to go right out here, and we're going to talk to our good friend Mac Jackson. And hold on, let me unmute him here. Mac, how are you tonight?
Hey, I'm good.
Well, gosh, Mac, it's been a few weeks.
In the past 3 months, I've had a lot of stuff happen. But
yeah.
Everybody felt as good as I feel right now. Every doctor, and every nurse can take a vacation because I feel good. But it's been kind of a struggle. My family's sick and stuff like that. But things are coming together because that's the time. There's a reason for all that to happen. And,
sure.
But things are coming together.
Well, let me ask you this. it's been a while since you've been on here, and there's obviously been quite a bit of things going on. Tell us some stuff that's been taking place there in your area.
Yeah, first, since you brought that up, I was kind of afraid y'all was mad at me because I hadn't heard from you. But,
oh, no.
you've been busy, too. Well, the other day, Tom called me this past week and asked me if there was anything happening down here, and I said, well, Tom, I'll tell you what I just heard, and I got to tell him the story that some people, like reporters or people, started aggravating him, and he said, Mac, I got to hang up. These people want to talk to me, so I'll talk to you later. Anyway, so I didn't get to finish my story. But let me tell you about 3 miles from here where I live, and it'd be right across the Pearl River Swamp. And that's all I'm going to say about where.
Yeah, the Pearl River Swamp?
Yeah, which, you know, the Pearl River goes a long way, so they'll have their hands full trying to find out exactly where it is. But the parents used to deer hunt at our deer camp, and they killed a deer one evening right at dark, and it was sleeting and cold and everything. And they came back to the deer camp and said, can we get somebody to help us track this deer? And one of the guys said, it ain't but one person crazy enough to go out there and help y'all track this deer this time of night, and that's Mac. But for me, it's an adventure. I enjoy it. And we found it. It was about 200 yards from where they found it. But I think it's their son that I'm fixing to tell you about. About 3 weeks ago, just before deer season started. Now, deer season is open, but they start running dogs, too.
Right.
Now, most people don't run dogs like you used to, but we still have several people that do. And I live really right in a deer camp, right in the middle of a place they run dogs. I'm about 3/4 mile from the Pearl River Swamp. But this particular person, and I feel like it's those people's son that I'm about to mention, he had turned his dogs loose to kind of get them some exercise in the Pearl River Swamp. And he was standing on the side on the edge of some woods, and he heard them ready to cross a pasture. Well, what they jumped wasn't a deer. It was, he said it was running on two legs. It was like a wild man. And it went up to the road, crossed the road, and went into the woods. And when the dogs got to the woods, they got to cut up, and they turned and hightailed it back as quick as they could. And that's only about 3 or 4 miles from where I am. And I have not investigated that yet, but I know the people, and I want to work on that next time.
Well, it's really significant, Mac, is that the dogs they sent out there to get them come running back with their tails between their legs, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And that's happened so many times, I can't tell you.
Right.
People have been out, and when we've had these creatures, they for some reason, man, the dogs just, man, they go under the house. I mean, these are trained doggone dogs that, you know, hunting dogs.
Well, he put it on Facebook, you know, kind of local Facebook, and was telling everybody what he saw. He said he couldn't believe what he saw. It was like a creature running on two legs, like a wild man or something. But that's all I know. And but I forgot to tell you that last time, you know, I told you I'd seen one about 3 months ago, and I was coming home one night. I didn't get to sit just totally real good, but I could sit good enough. It was standing up. Went up on the side of the bank, just past a bridge, and I forgot to tell you that when it run across that road, it didn't run as fast as they used to run. It had a hurt foot. Like his right foot was in a trap or something, alligator got. I don't know what happened, but that you could tell he was not running fast. But he was spending more time on that left leg trying to get across. And I forgot to tell you that part. But that land right there, like I said, was on my great granddaddy's land, both sides of the road.
Uh-huh.
I just started calling him Chester. You remember Chester?
Yeah, right, yeah. Mr. Dillon. Smoke?
Okay. So but it was strange because I could see his eyes, and he was up big, tall. I'd say about, 7 foot maybe. But it was really built like a bear. It was thick, but it wasn't a bear. Just running. But it couldn't hardly run,
As far as I know, bears can't run in two legs. Bears,
I've seen them walk on two legs for a little ways, but this ain't no bear.
Yeah.
This ain't had glowing eyes, And I know them eyes. That's just one little thing. I wanted to clear up something. Like, I need to defend myself on something. Mm-hmm. While back when we did a little video, I forgot to tell Tom, back when I was a kid, my cousins, they all bigger and older than me, and they used to hem me up and throw me in the closet, and they'd wrestle me and fight me. And one day I got enough of it and started getting my adrenaline up, and I started fighting the kid and busting noses. I let my adrenaline get up and get mad. I'd get mad quick. But when I start to get a little nervous, I shoot that adrenaline up, and I've had trouble with it ever since. And when Tom and them videoed me, I was starting to get a panic attack because I don't like to be interrogated. I thought I'd been interrogated, and I went crazy. I was ready to fight. And that was told it may get ready to whip some tail, And I'm not that way. I'm usually trying to be a good person. But I've had trouble getting that out of my system. So,
well, I don't know if there's any problem at all there, Mac.
I was a little wild crazy on that video. But as far as hunting around here, it would be a bad time right this minute to get in the woods because there's orange vest everywhere. Still hunting and dog hunting too. But now from the 8th of December to about the 16th of December, be a good time. All this undergrowth that has been got rid of, it'd be a good time to do some tracking and scouting. And when I get my horses back over here, that's what I'm planning on doing.
Oh, that'd be good. Well, then I'll keep in touch with you.
Oh, good.
And I want to thank you for coming on tonight to catch us
and
up with
some pictures. Get a chance to look at the pictures. I think you might be impressed on them.
Oh, I think so too. I've been looking through them. I got a review. You can send me a lot of stuff. I got a lot of stuff to look through.
Well, I wanted to back up what I'm saying here because I got 20 videos. I said I'm gonna at least send these pictures. People think I'm nuts about talking about these shapeshifters and stuff, but the wishbone layer that I found, it's just the shapeshifters are protecting that layer. But there's also an image right there by the tree that looks like a Bigfoot, but that's not a Bigfoot. That's 6 or 7 shapeshifters. And what they're doing, they're protecting the Bigfoot, dog-faced Bigfoot, who's laying on the ground looking at me. And interpreting to him what's going on. He's not 35 steps from me.
Wow.
I've been putting all this together for a while, and I'm getting more of the dog-faced Bigfoot, the dog-faced creatures, where I'm videoing. It's the strangest, craziest stuff I've ever seen, but, you go to digging, and they dig up another can of worms, and I think I have, and I said, well, I'm not going to say any more about this until I get pictures out there and show people and get their opinion too, because
the dog faced Bigfoot that I'm aware of, we've had 8 or 10 sightings of that in the last year. And I'm not talking about one area. I'm talking Minnesota. Of course, Wisconsin is where we first seen it. In Minnesota, we've had several, West Virginia. God, where else? Alabama. I mean, my God, it's you know, different places all over. So
I've been putting this. I've been putting this together about 33 years. That's the first two I ever saw. Was 33 years ago. And
well, when we first started doing research, when we were doing continuous research, probably in 2005. I think it was 2005 when we went full continuous. And we had went through Wisconsin and the Beast of Bray Road, and they had a television, you know, a whole television article on it. And, of course, we didn't pay any attention to it because we thought it was all, you know, smoke and mirror type, you know, legend stuff, right?
What?
But then we met Linda Godfrey, who is the author of a couple of books concerning that creature. She's been doing investigations for something like 20 years. And we also met a few other people in the area that happened in. And this all started as a result of an encounter that a guy had there that worked there for DNR for the and he was picked up roadkill deer, and he'd throw him in the back of his truck, and of course he had a contract with the state to do that, and he had thrown a doe in the back of his truck, and it, you know, a pretty good sized truck with, you know, the winches and all the other stuff on it, I guess. And he had a big steel stand that he used as a step to get up in the back, right, when you're carrying stuff, right? And he was filling out his paperwork in the front of the truck, and all of a sudden the whole back of the truck went clunk.
Yeah.
And he looked in the rearview mirror, and he seen this this dog-faced looking creature, and with pointy ears and teeth, and it was grabbing the doe out of the truck, and it was standing on 2 feet, and it took off with the deer. And not only took off with the deer, it took off with his steel stand.
Wow.
And so he made the news. It was on the national news.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went out to investigate that, and that's where we found out about the dog-faced Bigfoot to start out with.
But I think you'll see mine's got several pictures of dog-faced Bigfoot in there.
Mm-hmm. And we've had, since then, we've had quite a few sightings of that same type of creature. And it's like I tell everybody, you know, we call all these creatures Bigfoot. There are actually several different species of these creatures that are around that we're aware of right now. There may be more. Who knows?
Right. But the first one I ever saw, it was two of them. But let me tell you, I didn't explain this to you, but the tall one was male. I know it was male, but it was real. This sucker was built better than any human being could ever be built. I'm talking about slender from the side, but when he turned and just stood there stretching his legs out and waiting for that female to come on, he had like his abs just like twice as long. He had a long spine, but his shoulders looked twice as wide as mine. But he had a ugly face. I'm talking about creepy. But he was waiting for that female to come. But the female looked like a kind of chunky looking, you know, not built like you could tell it was a female. But it wasn't. And I'm in the wide open. It's in the wide open. You can see it good. I just wished I'd had a video, but I think what I'm getting at here, and maybe me and Sweet and Rocky might can say something about it, and it's kind of like, you know, a stallion and horse. A stallion looks different than a brood mare. A lion looks better, different than a male lion looks different than a female lion. I just
wondered. Most species do. Yeah, most species.
I just wondered
if male and the female are different.
I just wondered if the male Bigfoot was more built like a, you know, better built, a tall, slender. This is tall, slender. But he, when he turned to the side and faced me, and I'm watching for 15, 20 seconds, and I'm getting closer and closer to him. But he has got the ugliest face. I see why he don't go to Walmart because he'd scare everybody out there. And this ugliest looking thing you ever seen, but he was totally different built than the female. And the built, but you take the best built man in the world, he was built better than that because of his long muscle, long biceps, long, I'm talking about just huge, about 8 foot. And wow. I just wondered if it might be, the males might be built like that, considering a lot of these Bigfoot we see, we might think they're Bigfoot males, but could be a female.
Oh, it could be. But, I mean, what I see is there actually are several different species, and we know this not through visual.
Yeah.
We know this through DNA.
Yeah.
Through the DNA analysis. I mean, not through a visual sighting of one, through actual DNA. The DNA is different. It's a different creature. And that's what I'm talking about. Well, we're getting kind of stretched for time here, Mac.
Sure. Go right ahead, and I'll holler at you later.
Well, what we're going to do is stay on. We're going to.
I will.
We're going to go out here. We're going to talk to Rocky and Swede, and then we're going to have the open forum.
Sure.
Thanks for coming on tonight, Mac, and sharing with us.
Yeah.
And I'll keep in touch with you here.
Sure.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Mac Jackson, and he's giving us a little update here. We're going to go on right out here to Rocky and Swede, and tonight we're going to talk about, on footnotes, important aspects of planning an expedition. Now, how many of you people out there have been, you know, went out on an expedition or tried to go out into the woods? Here's where this started. Many people, when they go out, and I'm not just talking about searching for Bigfoot or hunting or, you know, doing research on Bigfoot. I'm talking about going out on a hunting expedition, just going out in the woods for a hike, all these kinds of things that can happen. And I want to tell you, a very large percentage of people, when they do that, they don't take in consideration before they go out. And once you get off a road and there's no street signs anymore, all you have is woods, sky. There are some pointers and other things that you have to be aware of. There are also other environmental things that you need to be aware of, the weather, all kinds of things to take in consideration when you go out in an area. And in the event something happens, you want to make sure that's taken care of. So, Swede and Rocky, why don't you come on and talk to us, my friends? How are you tonight?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good, good.
Well, you know, you're right. We know of people in our area that have, the one guy back in the late 90s, went out deer hunting, and he wasn't really that far out in the woods. But like I say, that was the late 90s, and, well, they're still looking for him. And it's they haven't found a body. They haven't found anything. And, well, I'm sure right now that, you know, if they find him, it'll just be skeletal remains. But it's so simple to...
Well, you know, as an example, Rocky, I'm originally from Minnesota. We have a lot of bogs in the northern part of Minnesota. And we call them blueberry bogs because there's lots and lots of blueberries there. And people go out in the fall at certain times of the year and they pick blueberries, hundreds from all the little towns around the area there, and they're out there. Now, these bogs are way, way, way out there. And once you get into there, if you get lost, you're lost.
Yeah.
and so many people, you know, what I'm saying is that what happens is so many people, they go out for the thrill of a moment, but they don't take in consideration the very basic things. And some of those are even wearing a jacket when it's in the fall, you know, because it's hot during the day. It gets below zero, or not below zero, but real cold down near the 40, in the 40s, you know, near freezing at night. And all those kinds of factors can, well, they can kill you if you're not careful.
Well,
that's what I was,
you know, just, you know, being out in the woods, you get a little bit sweaty, the temperature drops, you're setting yourself up for hypothermia. Well, at the same time, you know, just like when me and the Swede went up to the woods for a little over a month. Well, we didn't exactly plan for a flash flood that lasted for days, but we plan on bad stuff happening. And so we try to take, we always have our backpacks. We always have first aid kits in the backpacks. We have a little bit of food. Granted, when we get out there, if things go bad, we'll eat stuff that just gag a possum. But, but you know, we're not scared of that kind of stuff, but one thing that I was saying, telling you earlier today, that a lot of times, this is something that me and the Swede take for granted because we've been doing it all our lives. But, you know, I know of the one guy that got lost for over a day in a 40-acre patch that was surrounded on all four sides by roads. The people that are going to, I don't care if they're going 100 yards off the road, get a roll of the marking ribbon. You know, tie a fluorescent ribbon on a limb from time to time as you go. Give yourself a way to find your way out. Carry a compass. An emergency tent is the smartest thing you can carry, or one of them. As one of the space blankets, they're not great, but they're better than nothing. Me and the Swede, like I say, we always carry my emergency tents. He has one. We carry ponchos that we can snap together, and you know it's not the best tent in the world, but it'll keep us pretty dry in bad weather. But so often the people get out there and they think, you know, well, we're just going to go right down here. And, well, when they get right down there, they don't realize that right down there can get confusing. And people tend to walk in circles. So, I've got a little thing that I've had for years. I've never used it. It's a whistle, but it has a compass in it. It has a reflector in it for signaling. It's got a magnifying glass for starting a fire. It's got just handy little things. Well, I've never actually used one, but I've always got a compass with me just in case. When you get out there, I know a lot of people, whenever they get out there and they realize they're lost, they get scared and they run. Well, you know, I've never been lost, but I've been confused a few times. Well, anytime you feel confused, sit down for a little while. Of course, you know, there's been those times that once I sit down, I just said, hell with it, and just, you know, went ahead and found me a good, comfortable place and took a nap. But anyhow, it's you should always plan. Start your planning. If you're going on an expedition, start your planning well in advance. When me and the Swede went out in August, we we started the planning way in advance, and we started taking stashing food out there in that area so that when the time came, you know, we would have it on hand. Well, we got in a situation where we couldn't get to that food, but it was okay because nature presented us a big old fat coon to eat, and we had enough stuff to get us by until we could get back across the river. But we hadn't planned on a flash flood, but we had planned on, we always plan on the worst possible scenario and hope for the best possible scenario. And take a pack. I don't care if you're going 100 feet off the side of the road. Grab your pack. Take a first aid kit. Take a knife. Take a little emergency tent. They don't weigh anything. They're just a piece of Visqueen that's enough to keep the rain off of you, anything. A good poncho. Planning ahead is a simple thing if you just think it out and think about the possibility of falling and breaking a leg, cutting yourself open or, you know, getting lost, getting somewhere and not having enough food. It's all in the planning. A lot of guys can go out there with nothing and do well. Well, me and the Swede have always been able to do that, but we've always factored in the just-in-case thing. And we always have our bag. Is the Swede there?
Yeah, I'm in there, Rocky.
Okay, well, talk to him.
What did
tell these folks what, you know, what else they can do.
The Rocky has named it the semi-bug-out bag. But, you know, unlike us forgetting our cameras at times, the fire thing's probably one of the biggest things beyond the water that we always have, and several sources of something to create fire, whether it be some waterproof, you know, some storm matches or a Vic glider or a flint and steel. And most every time, we always try to carry a little bit of lint from the dryer in a Ziploc bag or something. And then use
steel wool. Steel wool and a 9-volt battery.
Yeah, and steel wool and a 9-volt battery works real well no matter what. Like we've talked about, if you're off the road far enough where nobody can see you, and that could be 50 feet or 50 miles. It doesn't matter if you get in a position where you're going to have to stay there. The fire thing is a good thing to have, and like I said, there's several different ways that you can have it in a real compact position. Me and Marco talked about this some time ago, and Marco was stating about that he learned when he was a boy about putting matches in a spent shotgun shell and sealing them up, which hardly anybody talks about doing that anymore, but it's a good way to use a shotgun shell for a match container. Just fold it right back up and put you a little dab of wax on there, and it's waterproof them. But, fire is definitely one of the most important things that...
Fire is good.
Can we open this up for everybody? They can ask some questions.
Sure.
That way.
Sure.
Okay, Bruce, you're on.
Hey, I had a question for you.
And Mac, well, come on. And let's see, Christian. We got Christian with us tonight. You remember Christian from a couple weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
And we got Richard, Anthony, and Jimmy.
And she put her head on her chest and put her head on her head. You know, I felt so freaking weird. Why would you do something like that? You just, you know, cut on me. No.
Don't ever say that. Never say that.
Hey, Rocky, I had a question for you. When I'm on expedition or out in the woods and everything, I always carry a little thing of light not with me, which is nothing more than pine stump.
Hey.
Mm-hmm.
And that works really good for starting fires.
Well, you know, we always carry stuff for a fire.
No question.
But we've actually never... We've only built a fire one time. I mean, we always do a cold camp.
Right.
When we went out in August, and we was hung up between the creeks, I've got a little one burner propane stove that I take a lot. Well, we decided to build a fire. And, that was one of those things. We had a little bit of steel wool and a 9-volt battery.
Mm-hmm.
And, all you gotta do is just put the, you know, touch it across the posts and it will, it's a good fire starter.
Right.
And you know, it's anything that you can take that you can keep dry, it's always a good thing to be able to build one, if for no other reason, just for the it's mentally comforting to be able to have a fire.
Yeah.
To you know.
Marco, what year was that that I was out there and we had to hunker down because of the tornado?
That was 2007, March.
Yeah, we had to make a fire using cotton swab.
Yeah.
With alcohol in them.
Right. Well, Robert carries a little plastic a Ziploc with dryer land in it. I mean,
yeah, that dryer lint from your newer clothes, you know, like some of your, you know, synthetic, got like, you know, some polyesters and stuff in there along with that cotton. Man, all you got to do is just get that first little spark in that, you know, off of your flint. And man, when it gets that synthetic burning, you can get you a flame right quick, like, and, you know, get your tinder on there. But, and also another thing about that, too, is I'm kind of the Ziploc bag guy. I always double up my Ziploc bags on stuff and like that. And whenever
right.
you get out there, find that Ziploc's real nice. If you have to run across a hair sample or something like that, you got you a bag you can put it in.
That's true. I'm sort of like y'all. I mean, y'all... correct me if I'm wrong, you grew up in the woods all the time. I grew up in the swamps all the time, so I've done the camping thing. I've gone out barefoot with a shotgun on my...
Well, let me ask you people a question. Jimmy, did you have any questions for any of the guys here tonight?
I really don't have too many questions.
Can you hear me? Everybody that's on tonight has had an encounter, and or more than one. And
hey, Marco, I had a question for Jimmy. Whenever he
sure,
but is when you hit that creature with your spotlight, did you happen to notice the color of his eyes? Was it? Did you have a different color than you generally do if you have something?
I think it was kind of it was different. It was kind of an orange looking eye.
There you go. Yeah, you definitely. You know, that's what I've encountered was the red eye.
Well, you know, we talked about when me and Swede went to Southern Arkansas. We were sitting out there looking through our night vision, and everything that we have ever seen, cows, deers, coons, possums, everything, had green eyes through the infrared. But we saw something out there that through the infrared, its eyes was just as orange as could be.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know,
like a Bigfoot.
You know, spotlighting's illegal, but I tell you right now, I do it all the time, and it was just different. You know, it got me quick. It phone poses with me. I didn't even know what to do.
Well, that's what threw me off, because they're not just red eyes, it's different. They're, and what I saw was not red, it was kind of a pale red, but it glowed.
Yeah, it was like a, I don't know, I'd say like a dingy orange. It was different. I don't know.
Just a little taste of orange, kind of red orange, but it glowed there.
Well, when we was viewing it through the infrared, it was like neon orange.
Yeah. Bright orange.
Yeah, I don't have one of those infrareds, you know.
But I've heard of people seeing different, you know, yellow and different colors, but the ones I've seen was, it's like a pale red, but it glowed.
That's pretty much the same thing I've seen.
Sweet, you got a second to change the subject, but to elaborate on that, you know, we talked about Gorilla duct tape earlier.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, there's 1,000 uses of that stuff out in the woods. And not just in your woods, but you camp and everything else. But I've used it like to roll it up backwards and put on trees, and you'll pick up some hair samples too that way.
Absolutely. I was going to say any kind of an adhesive is a good thing. You know, me and Rocky talked about we were going to talk about the little shelter thing there, and we've been caught out. We had the little poncho, your two little ponchos is all we had, two military ponchos that snapped together.
Yeah.
Makes a pretty good, shelter, but the wind was blowing and the rain was slinging around there and, that Gorilla tape, you could put that on in water when it's wet and it'll stick. And we tape that. We run a big strip out there right quick like and put across the top of that thing right there where them snaps was.
Yeah.
Put that down and it didn't leak and drop.
Well, that's what I was talking about. That's a storm. They use that stuff. There's a storm. They said it ripped up tents. Man, it just held those tents together and that wind was blowing. So it's good for 100 different things, you know.
I'll tell you one thing that it's really good for is when you're out there sleeping under a couple of ponchos in the rain.
Yeah.
You take about a 6-inch strip and put it over the Swede's mouth and nose.
That's not the best use for it.
That's get a golf ball for that.
The only thing in the world that'll stop his snoring other than a heavy rock.
Mike, let them look down the tree, too.
Anthony or Richard, did you have any questions?
Yeah, I just want to say to Mac.
Yes.
You talk about the creature you saw being built. On my second sighting I had, in the Patterson film, you see this big, bulky creature.
Right.
I had a real good look at, like a 4 or 5 second look at the one I saw. It looked like what I said, call a Chippendale dancer. You know, the male stripper?
Yeah, yeah.
It was built like that. Not bulky, but muscular. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm saying?
Right. The only bulky ones I've seen is a female, but they weren't that bulky, and they didn't walk that way. They didn't walk anything like the Patterson. They
this
were
thing
long, tall. Yeah.
It was built like a male stripper. It was big, but not...
Yeah, this... Man, the first one I saw, I'm talking about, really, guys, you take the best built person in the world, best male person, and I'm telling you, they were not built as good as this creature.
How hairy was it?
Because the strength of his arms, long arms and legs, but no shoulders. Now, from the side, it looked like he kind of slumped, but just a slender. But he was tall and slender.
But were the arms long?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what makes up the difference in being as stout as it was. But when they moved, now, when he grabbed that female and they took out across the road, one of them, I can't tell which one did it, one of them hit the ground and just kind of knocked his way or kind of pulled himself through, you know, trying to pull his back legs through and got back up running again.
Yeah, well, Mac, one thing, other thing I noticed was how long the fingers of the hands were.
Oh, yeah, not twice.
Long.
Richard, I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you spoke up because you had mentioned something a few months ago about how, you know, cartoon people got their ideals. Well, I'm seeing what you're seeing, too, on this wishbone layer that I've been videoing. And I hate to go back to this shapeshifter thing, but there's odd-looking, crazy-looking shapeshifter stuff that are protecting that layer. They're not only protecting that layer, they're protecting the Bigfoot, too. It's crazy, but I got the videos to prove it. And I'm sending these pictures, hoping Marco can back me up here with all these pictures. And y'all will see all these. There's one place where it looks like a Bigfoot standing by a tree, but you get to looking, it's not. There's five or six, maybe seven shapeshifters, but the real Bigfoot is on the ground facing me, about 6 feet long. You see his foot in the back, and he's looking at me. They're protecting him. I don't know. I'm just putting all this together, guys.
Nobody knows. Like
nobody
I said,
knows.
Nobody knows until somebody can follow a specific group for a couple of months or 6 months and take notes. Nobody knows what the hell's out there.
Right.
We get glimpses. That's all we get. We get little glimpses.
We get some glimpses, but I've seen four definitely for 15, 20 seconds that there was no doubt what were. And
well,
one of them was 12 feet from me, and I had a .45 pistol in my lap using 220 grain. I could have pulled the trigger, but I didn't, because I know what protects them, too. And if you kill one, you may be at an alley where you don't want to be, because they're guarded. They're protected and guarded, too. That's why we can't see them.
I think there's a whole, if you shoot one, you're going to have a whole bunch after you.
Yeah,
better be able to get out of there quick, because they're never alone.
Christian. Christian, did you have a question for anybody tonight? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, who said they had a question? Go ahead.
This is Jimmy. Yeah, I have a question. I was like, have you all seen, the difference, if they're a female or a male, what's the difference? I don't know, on that creature or whatever, if you could tell the difference between if they have breasts or, something different about them.
Depends.
Yeah,
the answer to that is this. Over all of the encounters that we've had, the ones that I've, people that I've talked to, the females do have breasts, okay? Just like our females have breasts, look the same except they're covered with hair, okay? And, and the differences in these creatures seem to be some are more human-looking in the face and facial features, and then there's other features like we talked about the dog face one. But there's other ones that are more, I would say, orangutan-looking, or more, they're not gorilla-looking, they're orangutan-looking type creatures.
I'm sorry.
But those are the kinds, Jimmy, that we've got recorded. There's also a three to four foot creature. It's like a dwarf. It's a dwarf. It's just, really heavily built, real strong, but it's a small
And we've had several people that have had sightings of that creature. And, of course, Rocky, one of our guests tonight in Swede, they were entertained by what we call a 6-foot billy ape that threw him about 20 feet.
Billy ape?
Yes. That threw him about 20 feet.
Okay.
And, I mean, it was, and Rocky's talked about it several times, but it attacked him. He shot it several times, and then he couldn't shoot it anymore. It picked him up and squeezed him, and he took his K-bar out and stabbed it in the neck. And finally it threw him, and it took off, and of course it died, bled to death. But we took the samples of that and had it analyzed in UC Davis, and it came out. And Rocky had an exceedingly excruciating, painful experience. Right, Rocky?
I would say so.
Yeah, it was not a good night for me.
Yeah. But normally, with these creatures, I mean, this is one of the very few times that we've had where it's attacked somebody. Normally, they don't attack. Normally, they run away. But we've had instances where they have tried to attack other people as well, and only a couple. And most of the time, they seem to, you know, head the other direction, like yours did. Took off running.
I think you bounced off.
You may have dropped off. Well, everybody, I want to thank everybody tonight for coming on. Bruce, Steve, the Gentle Giant, Mac, Swede, Rocky, Christian, thank you, Richard, Anthony, and Jimmy, thank you so much for sharing your experience with us. And we'll see everybody next week, and keep the Bigfoot alive and keep Bigfooting. We'll see everybody next week. Good night now.
Good night, Mark.
Give us a call, Michael. Man.
Everybody have a good night.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a goal and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts.